Yeah! How y'all doing today? It's so good to be here, and it's like really an honor to get that kind of an introduction. I've never had an introduction like that before. I'm speechless. But we'll keep going. We'll persevere. It's so good to meet all of you guys. I haven't met all of you, but I've walked around and just kind of said hi, and I met Austin over there, and I met these couple crew down back here, hey. And so it's been really cool. So we are, my name is Jake Leffner, my wife Shelly and I are have been a part of Chi Alpha for, I guess, 22 years now. Usually I kind of speculate on that, but I did the math today. So I graduated in 1998 from high school. Yeah. That ages me a little bit. And then I went to Sam Houston in 1999, spent a year, my first year in College Station, got in some trouble with the law in College Station and said, I gotta change my life, just left that place. My sister, who was going to Sam Houston and a part of Chi Alpha, she like prayed me in. She filled out my application to the university and I was like, whatever, kid, punk kid. And I got involved with this thing at Sam Houston called Chi Alpha. And I've been doing it both as a student and on staff for 22 years now. It's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
That's what God does. So I was at Sam Houston for about 10 years, both as a student and on staff. I felt the call of the Lord at a young age. I was a musician. I still am a musician. I love playing music. I love leading worship. I'm able to lead worship over at Silver City, New Mexico, at the Harvest Church over there, and we're having a blast doing that, and then also for the Chi Alpha group there, and it's super cool. You know, we always say it doesn't matter where you are, it's who you are, right? So it doesn't matter if you're in some big city like St. Petersburg, Russia, or Houston, Texas, or you're in Silver City, New Mexico, and you love worshiping God, and you love seeking people, that's what you do,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, come on.
Because it's who you are. After I finished at Sam Houston, I interned. I didn't know what else to do, and Eli was like, well, why don't you intern? And I opened up an account. I sat on the account for like 2 years, and I didn't raise a dime because I was too prideful, and I didn't want to ask anybody for funds, right? And then 1 year, I got so overwhelmed. I was working like crazy. I was like getting up in the morning. I was working out. I was going to a staff meeting. I was going to a midday job. I would run home. I'd get the Chi Alpha trailer. I'd set up the sound system. I would lead worship. I'd tear down the sound system. And this was like daily. And I just said, man, I gotta do something different. So I ended up raising my budget. God provided, and I interned that year. And that year, Eli and them, they said to me, you know, Jake, we can't really teach you anything else here. We want you to go to Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. Beaumont, eat them up, Beaumont. Anybody? I don't even know. It's okay. Yay! Anybody been through there? You've been through there if you've driven I-10 to Florida. And we were shocked at what God did at Lamar University. And it was amazing. We didn't know what was going to happen. It was one of the hardest years of my life, but I remember we met a group of guys, and they were the guys that got us into just everything. And the guy that's there now, Andy Gerals, the campus pastor, was one of the first guys that we met the first year. Gave his life to Jesus, kept walking with Jesus, and started that. We were there for 1 year, and God did something. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It was such a testament. And I remember hearing from the Lord, and the Lord said, you know what? Jake, you just put your hand down and work. Put your head down and work, and I'll bless everything you put your hands to. When you go in the name of the Lord and you do something for Him, He just blesses it and He does it, and it's cool. After that, I was invited to Colorado State University in Fort Collins, and I spent 2 years there to help Nate Banky and those guys up there. And then I came back to Sam for 2 years. In the midst of that, met my wife, Shelly, who was working in the national office. Fell head over heels in love with her. A year went by, and some matchmakers played matchmaker, and we kind of got together, and we were like, well, let's go start a Chi Alpha somewhere. And we drove through Las Cruces, and we drove through Albuquerque, and we drove to Boulder, and we drove to Duke University, and we drove to this place, and nothing really felt right. And then I remember the Lord speaking to me and saying, Jake, you know, I just said, Lord, I want to be on the front lines of what you're doing, whatever that may be, right? And then a week later, I get a call from Nate Banky. His eyes were bloodshot, hair was messed up. It's like 2 a.m. in the morning in Russia. And he says, Jake, what are you doing? I said, we're looking for a Chi Alpha to start. My Shelly and I weren't even engaged yet, right? And he said, "Won't you come to Russia for a year?" The year the team that was coming just backed out, and I said, "Well, who else do you have, mate?" And he said, "There's no one else. It's just you guys." And I looked at him and I said, "I'll do it because I love you." And that's what I said to him. Not because I love Russia, because I love you. That's right. So Shelly and I knew what the Lord was doing. My wife, when she was 10 years old, she spent 4 years in Moscow, Lithuania. Her parents were missionaries, right when the Iron Curtain fell. Really awesome story. After she graduated from college, she went back to Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, spent another 4 years there. This is a girl who spent 8 years of her life in post-Soviet or Soviet country. And I knew that God was taking our two loves and putting them together, right? And it's cool what God does when you step out in faith. Amen? So that's a little bit about myself. Now I want to hear a little bit about yourself. So we'll start over here, and we'll go all the way across the room, one by one. I'll learn about you later. There's two main things that I learned when I was at SAM. And you've probably heard this before. There's two main things that I learned. The first thing is that we got to be missional, right? There's a world out there that doesn't know Jesus, and there are people that have never heard the gospel, never had a proper representation, right? And that could be at this university, and that's all around the world. The second thing is that I learned that I'll never forget is we got to make disciples.
Yeah, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I've heard Taylor say that over and over since I've been here. So I know it's in your DNA, and I know it's in your heart, and it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've all heard the phrase, what God does in you, he wants to do through you.
Yeah.
Right? That's missional, right? You've heard the scripture, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, go and entrust the faithful men who will carry it on and on and on. Right?
Yeah.
That's discipleship. Yeah. And these two principles have led me and my family all over the world, right? They've led me to open doors that I've never thought. I never thought I would be in Russia. I never thought I'd be in Silver City, New Mexico. And who knows what's next, right? I love Silver City, New Mexico. Being in a big city like St. Petersburg or Houston, you know, St. Petersburg, it was built before cars, right? So they just like threw roads at them, you know? And so you get in the car, I'll get in the car, and I'll drive 3 miles, and it'll take me an hour and a half, depending on what time of day it is, right? And there's an old babushka, which is a grandma, who's walking faster than my car. This happens all the time in St. Petersburg. So there are some perks to living there. It's very beautiful, and there's some downsides, too. But I want to share something with you tonight, and it's on my heart. So this is kind of a new thought for me. And the small group that we're leading, we you know, it's kind of a first thing, and it's a kind of a COVID year, and so the campus is there's not a lot of students on campus, but we got in with the football team, right? So our whole small group is pretty much the football team, or half the football team, whoever wants to show up, right? And a few other guys, and there's some cross-country guys in there and everything, and it's just awesome. And I usually just kind of go around the Bible and just preach on whatever I talk about in my small group. But we've been going through the book of Mark. And I was thinking about what I would share with you guys, because I want to talk about discipleship tonight. Okay? And I was thinking about the book of Mark, and I couldn't think about what I wanted to talk about. And then we started talking about this one thing, which I'm going to share with you. And a lot of times whenever we think about discipleship, you might have heard a sermon that says, you know, there's the lost out there. And people are out there that were lost, and you have to go out there and do that, and this is the Great Commission, and this is that, this is what God has asked us to do, yada, yada, yada. But I like to think about what is in it for me? Why do I make disciples? What do I get out of it? And that sounds like a very selfish thing, right? But God is a God of blessing, and he's a good God. And there are things that we learn when we step out in faith, right? And I just want to talk about it. Because I'm passionate about it. When I was in Russia, I had so many conversations with guys, students who spoke English, guys just in the church, and what we're doing there is working with the local church to focus on universities, right? So we're still doing Chi Alpha, right? But it's over there. It's not called Chi Alpha. They think it's Caiaphas. You know who Caiaphas was, right? He was the head Pharisee who put Jesus on the cross. Jake, why do you call your campus Caiaphas? Well, we don't. It means something different. But they don't have a Greek system, and they don't understand that whole stuff, so we don't call it that. But I'll never forget, I'm talking to these guys over and over about Jesus. They're giving their life to Jesus. We're able to baptize them. It's really cool. It's just amazing. Freezing cold rivers and all the lakes, and you know, it's freezing. And when you talk to them about going out and sharing your faith, they'll say something to you like this: Jake, you just want me to go out so that you can build a bigger ministry. You just want me to go out to do this, to, you know, so to have more people in here. I don't want to do that, you know. And they won't say I don't want to do that, but they're sure thinking it, right?
Yeah.
And the honest to God truth is, it couldn't be further from the truth for me. I don't care how big our ministry gets. I don't care about the quantity of our ministry. What do I care about? I care about the quality of your life, right? So we're going to read today out of the book of Mark. So you can open up to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to make you guys stand up. It would be cool if you did. Don't stand. That's an Eli thing. If you like the trip, come sit. You can stand, yeah. He'll make you stand when you read the word. It's a reverent thing. I like it. Mark 10 through 17. Now this whole book, this whole chapter in the book of Mark is, in my opinion, it's about posture, okay? Does anybody know, you know what I'm talking about? It's about posture. How do we come to God in a way that is acceptable, okay? In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, it says this: Now he was going out on the road, and one came running, a man came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one but one, that is God. You know the commandments," Jesus said. "Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the rich young ruler answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus looked at him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those to trust in riches, who trust in riches, to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Father God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We thank you that it's living and breathing. We thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to us and that you're going to speak to us, Father God. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, and open our hearts to receive, Father, this truth, Lord Jesus, of what you have for us. And Father God, change us forever in your name. Amen. So this piece of scripture in this verse is sandwiched between two other scriptures that have to do with posture. If you remember a little bit earlier in the chapter, if you've read the Mark 10, Jesus is hanging out, and the kids were running around him, you know, these children come up to him, and the disciples were shooing him away, right, shooing the kids away, because in that culture, the women and the children were kind of second-class citizens, you know. Jesus was always escalating the children and the women. He was always giving them value, where in that season, in that time, there was none. And so, I could imagine this rich young ruler in that scenario, sitting on the sidelines, overlooking and seeing this. Maybe he was sitting in the corner watching Jesus play with these kids. And you guys know who Rich Mullins is? So Rich Mullins, he's an old lyricist and songwriter and man of God. And he always has this little sermonette that he talks about. He says, you know, whenever you're hanging out with kids, you're just not prestigious. I have three boys. I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And when we are in the living room wrestling, you don't care, you know, if your pants are down, your shirt's up, or whatever, you're just having fun, and you're letting it all hang out, right? And this is like this is what Rich Mullins is talking about, just that posture of reckless abandonment that when you come to God, right? And the disciples were shooing him, shooing these kids. Get away, get away. This is a man of prestige. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Let him come to me. For he who comes to me with this posture is, you know, able to eat, you know, the whole story. So that's one thing. That's one correction, right, that he gives. He's discipling the disciples at that point, in that juncture. And on the end, on the other side of the rich young ruler scenario, there's another one where the two disciples, James and John, asked if they could be glorified with Jesus in his kingdom. Can we sit on your left and your right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And he says, it's not really my cup to bear. Can you bear the cup that I carry? They said, yeah, we can do that. And they said, well, it's not really mine to give. You know, people that usually want this kind of prestige want to lord it over everybody else, don't they? Yeah. Jesus brought that out. And he did it in kindness, but he told them truth, right?
Yeah.
And so I always, you know, when I was a child, I read this passage. If I read Mark 10, I read about the rich young ruler, the first thought that came to my mind was that God doesn't want me to be rich, right? And as we talked about it, I remember going through we talked about this in small group weeks ago, and the same thing kind of came up. It's like the guys were asking, does God want me to be rich? You know? And it's honestly a good thing to say. But I just want to break this apart for you guys a little bit. I think this man, this rich young ruler, was genuine when he was asking God what he was asking. He wasn't trying to size him up. He wasn't trying to catch him, right? We don't know if this ruler worked for his money, if he was poor and he worked his way up, or if he just inherited all the money. We don't know. But Jesus really exposes the self-righteous character of this ruler immediately when he says, why do you call me good, right? So this man is coming up to Jesus and he says, good teacher. He's giving him a compliment, but in a way he's kind of saying, well, I'm good too, and you're good, we're good together. And then Jesus kind of crushes his spirit. He says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God, right? You're not good. Maybe I'm God, and you might interpret that way. You know, maybe he was saying, well, I'm God, which could be. But then he says something else. Jesus lists the six commandments, six of the Ten Commandments, right? And what six commandments did he deal with? What did he talk about? He talked about the six commandments, the latter six commandments, that deal with man's relationship to man. Okay?
Yeah.
And that relationship, you know, it's like, it's, you know, hey, I honor my father and my mother. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I don't do all these things, right? But what God neglected to say was the first four, which deals with man's relationship to God.
Yeah.
Okay? No other God before me. This is the first commandment. No, let there be no other God before me. No graven images. Take in the name of the Lord in vain. And remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, right? These are the first four commandments. They have to do with man's relationship to God. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So Jesus, he kind of throws this alley-oop at himself, you know? And he's like setting him up. Not to hurt him, not to catch him, but to help this guy. He's trying to help him. And this guy's genuinely coming and asking, how can I be good, right? And he's giving him, he says, what things do you do, against man? And he said, I don't do anything against man. He says, what do you do against God? He didn't ask him that, right? Jesus wasn't stern. It wasn't like when he was talking to the Pharisees, you know. Pharisees knew better, didn't they? But all Jesus was really doing was exposing this man's posture to himself so that he could count the cost. Okay?
Yeah.
What did Jesus say to him? Sell everything you have, pick up your cross, follow me. The idea of picking up your cross is the idea of dying to self, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could have said, you've probably heard this before, you pick up your cross, that was your murder weapon back then. You know, today we would say, pick up your lethal injection, follow me, die to your sin. And that kind of a boring way to think about it, but that's what he was saying, really.
Yeah.
What the man never had the chance to realize was that God can bring all things to those who truly follow him if we have the right posture. Right?
Yeah.
So I often think about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And God can equip us with love towards the unlovable. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. He can equip us with joy and suffering, peace and poverty. If this guy would have given everything he had, right? Would he have had peace? Could God have given him peace and poverty?
Yeah,
right? Patience as we strive to succeed. Goodness in our endeavors. Faithfulness when trials come our way. Gentleness in our actions. And self-control when we feel like lashing out in the world. You know, God is looking at the fruit. He's looking for the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. You know that? He's looking for your heart condition and your posture. And we live in a culture today where much of Christianity is consumer Christianity, isn't it? You kind of see it here and there. I'm not going to talk much about it, but, you know, people might go to church to feel good, to get right with God, to learn the power of positive thinking. It's kind of like that, right? Just to be honest, you know, it may even learn how to heal or prophesy or prosper, you know. It's the first time I've done this. Am I doing all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. Praise the Lamb. This girl on the missions team, she said, "Praise the Lamb." I'm joking about that one too. What God really wants to do in our lives, and in this rich young ruler's life, is to set him on a course. Okay? That's what God wanted to do the whole time. He wasn't there to bash him. He wasn't there to badmouth him. He wasn't there to take all his money away, right? He knew the answer, but he knew what was holding him back from God, right?
Yeah.
What God really wants to do is to set us on a course. I always say this. It's a course that weeds out the things in our lives that don't glorify him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a course that reveals his love for us as humans and therefore aligns our hearts with his.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a course to grow. I want to have the worship team come back up. We have a buddy in. There hasn't been, I'm not just a part of Chi Alpha just to be a part of Chi Alpha, you know. I believe in student ministry. I believe that you're in a place in your life where you're old enough to be out of the covering of your parents, right?
Yeah.
That you're young enough to not have the things that life brings you around you, you know. I love this place in life, and I love where you're at. And through all of my years in Chi Alpha, there hasn't been one thing, you know, there hasn't been one thing in my life that hasn't been that has set my heart in line with his, like fighting for the lost,
yeah,
like making disciples. Okay, I've spent my whole life in church. I've had a bad run, gotten in trouble with the law, but in the grand scheme of sitting in church and being a participator. And being somebody who was marching forward, who was on the front lines, one taught me far more than the previous. Right?
Yeah.
And so when I talk to the Russians, when I talk to the guys from Colorado, when I talk to you guys, I'm not just blowing smoke, you know. When they ask me, when the guys in Russia, they say, "You're just, all you want to do is grow your ministry larger." I just look at them and I say, you know, God wants to weed out the things that don't glorify you. Don't glorify him, right, in your life. You guys are playing. I'm feeling this right now. I need some emotion. My buddy Brandon, I'll tell you. My buddy Brandon Reigns, he used to, he would have this thing. So, you know, worship team, come back up. Like he was in the internship with us, and he said, Hey, worship team, come back up. Everybody get saved. It's also the same guy that took my paper, flipped the paragraphs around, and put the rest of just details at the bottom, the picture of the cross, to fill it in. So much like my, much like the rich young ruler, I had a lot of reservations when I started fighting for people. And it took a couple of years for me to kind of get it. I was a worship leader. That was my duty. Eli, I was looking for the praise of Eli, you know. And Eli was always hanging out with the disciple makers in the corner, you know. That's what he cared about, right? And I just didn't get it. And I'd always make excuses, like I don't have any friends, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not charismatic enough, or it's not my calling, or you know, I'm called to play music, or, you know, and you may be saying to yourself tonight, you know, I'm called to be a doctor, a lawyer, a school teacher, an engineer. Nothing you or God can do can change what I'm going to do. Anybody thinking that right now? I'm not going to do anything else, right? And that's exactly what the rich young ruler was saying. And God said, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, right? Pick up your cross and follow me. Would you stand with me? Let me tell you tonight that if we can't let go of us, God can never elevate what he wants to do through us. And I'll say this to you, had the rich young ruler given all his wealth to the poor, God could have replaced it in a second. God could have replaced it with something far better. But this guy was left holding on to the scraps of this world, right? He's holding on to the scraps and walked away sad. And I, for one, refuse to fall short of that, nor do I want that for you in your life. A lot of you guys are thinking through things. There's things in my life in the past that I gave up, I set aside, and I just want to spend the moment, the next few moments, reflecting, asking God, what are the things in your life that don't glorify him? What are the ways that we've put other things before? What are the ways that we're making excuses? And what can we do? Since we know the Great Commission, we know that what we're called to do, Jesus is telling us, you got the heavens await, right? If you just trust me, right?
Yeah.
Some of you are struggling with your life goals, the reason you came to this university. Some of you guys are struggling dealing with pride. Not just arrogance, but you know that timidity and shyness is pride also. You guys know that? Some of you guys are angry at the politics of the world. You're angry at other things, family members, jealous, self-righteous. And we want the power, but God is looking to build the posture. God is building our perfectness of character. That which only can be gained by great sacrifice. He has given us the call, and he has given us the method, and he is waiting for us to give up everything with the promise of so much more. Father God, I pray for these students tonight, Lord God. Father God, as we've said over and over, let us not be like the rich young ruler. Father God, let us not meet with you, be changed by you, and be holding on to something that you've asked us to give up. Father God, for we know that you own 1,000 heads of cattle on 1,000 hills. You've got all the provision, Father God. Lord Jesus, but we also know that you want to align our hearts with yours. You want to teach us who you are, Father God. We know, Lord Jesus, that we can be, when we're with you, we can be dirt poor and be full of peace. We can be full of joy and we can be dirt poor, Father God. We can be in another country and not have everything we want if we just have you. And that's what we're saying. So, Father God, we know that your method, Lord, is to go into all the earth and make disciples, to go onto the university campus here and to meet somebody who doesn't know you, Father God. Not for us to grow the ministry, Father God, but for us to align ourselves with you, Father. We ask that you would weed out the things again that don't glorify you. In Jesus' name. I just want to spend just a few minutes, if it's all right. If we could just sing a song together, come down to the front, ask the Lord, what are the things? How can we give? What are those things, right? I think you know what I'm talking about, right? And I think you know that the Lord is here and wants to deal with us. So let's go. I know I'm going to do it. Amen?